What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Listen, before we get into today's show, I have to talk to you about our longtime sponsor, Harry's. You guys have heard me talk about Harry's razors quite a bit on this show. I've been a loyal Harry's user for a long time. The blades, the shaving cream, the quality, the process, though, is what I absolutely love. You go over to harrys.com/lineup, okay, which is how you help the show. Sign up, get a free trial, pay for shipping. They're going to ship this high-quality stuff to your house, and you're going to go, wait, it's this cheap? It's this easy? I just go back to the website, it comes straight to the house. You need the razors, you need the shaving cream. Don't do it at the drugstore. It's just easier to go to harrys.com/lineup, let them know we sent you, and you're going to love the quality of the product that you get there. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in, Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast bringing you lineup construction ideas for the craziest DFS, NBA DFS slate that we've had this year. So, I got to be honest with you. I know it's late. This show got up late. I'm sorry. Last night, I sat down. I'm watching Wizards 76ers. I get up at halftime to start doing some notes. You know, weekends, I get a little bit behind. I kind of let the time get away from me a little bit, you know, with notes. Weekdays, I'm a little better. Sit down, start looking at the slate, and I go, oh my God. What? I just keep adding names. I just keep adding names to the list. I'm like, well, he's in a good spot. Well, this is ridiculous. I mean, well, he better. Centers against it. Well, okay. I mean, so the depth of this slate is absolutely mind-boggling. I wouldn't be surprised if there's lineups that like hit 500 points. I have no idea. There's not a ton of injuries. There are some. LineupLogicDFS.com. There is injuries and implications up over there. You can read a detailed report by Jay Brancato, new writer for us, doing great work. Follow him at Jay Brancato. Read his breakdown of the injuries. Of course, you're going to see Josh's big monster model. Patrons, you're going to see that. It's already up. The player worksheet's going to continue to be updated. I'll put the matchups model in there as well. And the player rater, of course, Ryan. You guys, if you haven't been watching Ryan Spector's videos, his core plays, just rock solid. And the best thing about Ryan is you're not going to get pure chalk. Chalkity chalk, chalk, chalk. You're going to get some plays that you are looking at and you're thinking, yeah, whoa, actually, okay, that is an interesting spot. And that is always one of the things that I love about Ryan's takes is slightly to the right of what people, what the crowd is thinking. Really, really good spots that he's put up there in the last couple of days. So Spector's video, you see that today. LineupLogicDFS.com. Of course, that is where all of this content is coming at you. I'm not going to waste any more time because I honestly feel like I couldn't get through all the research this morning. There is going to be stuff that I leave out. You may be listening to this pod and you may be like, Sean, but you didn't even talk about it. It's frankly because this is an 11-game slate with like every single total over 200 points. It's absolutely berserk how much how many good spots there are. I'm blown away. Let's get into it. All right. So, I mean, I'm not kidding when I say, you know, this is one of the most just kind of unbelievable slates. Like I said, we're, I believe at 11 games. I believe we're at 11 games. So I will start with, I'm going to start with the lowest totals because this is the kind of a good sorting mechanism for these games today. Currently in Boston versus Memphis, this is the lowest total that we have. It's a 203. The Celtics are favored by 12 at home. Yeah, I mean, this makes good sense. You have a Boston team that should be able to control the game versus Memphis. Memphis has some injury implications here as well. So Tyreek Evans has had a rib injury. Marc Gasol sat out Saturday, but he's going to play tonight. So we are going to probably see a good amount of run for, you know, these guys behind Tyreek after the Cleveland game. We saw on Saturday, we saw good run for Andrew Harrison, Jarrell Martin. And again, we talked about this. They're going to give 30 minutes to their developmental guys. Dylan Brooks getting decent run as well. But it seems like, you know, those are the guys that are going to get the primary core minutes. Jermichael Green in there as well. So Jarrell Martin, Jermichael Green, Andrew Harrison, those are the guys who you should expect to get decent run without, you know, kind of the wing types that without Tyreek in the lineup. Of course, Marc Gasol, decent spot as well. He'll get the usage bump, but do you want to do this in the lowest total? He's been inconsistent. They haven't played him over 30 minutes. It's a little bit of concern for me, so I don't really know. If I go anywhere here, I'm going to probably go to some of the value type guys who present, you know, a good amount of minutes. Harrison and Martin, maybe. Yeah. On the Boston side of things, you know, there's some spots. I think it's sneaky to attack them maybe on some of the smaller slates, but given the depth at the other positions, I just don't know how much I want to go here. I really don't. I mean, you know, you wonder, you wouldn't be surprised if a guy like Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown had a really nice game here, but it's just there's a lot more clear writing on the wall for a lot of these spots, especially in the lowest total. You just don't necessarily have to go to it. Pacers at the Mavericks. 210 total here. I mean, that's a quick jump, right? I mean, 7 points, you jump right out of that. That shows you how low that 203 number is for tonight. Pacers are favored by 3 on the road here, which, you know, you can confidently feel like the Pacers are going to get this game, no doubt about it. Darren Collison continues to be out. Corey Joseph, Joe Young kind of doing the 50-50 thing. Well, three quarters, you know, one quarter here. Corey Joseph, you know, been more productive since the All-Star break. And he had a really nice game against Atlanta, which is a trend that we need to jump on, by the way. The Atlanta point guard trend is definitely something there. There's reason to like some of this Pacers team. I don't know. It's a low total. We have distributed scoring and relatively stable prices for all of these guys. You're not really seeing a ton of value that you can go after. I don't know how much I really want to go to this Indiana side of things. And frankly, I don't really know how much I want to go to the Dallas side of things either. I mean, attacking them in the paint, sure, yeah, you want to attack Indiana in the paint near the rim, okay, great. Dwight Powell's seen his minutes start to go down. You know, we're approaching a return for Nerlens Noel. We don't know when that is going to be and how it's going to shake up the rotations. And I don't know. I mean, I don't really see anything that appeals to me that much out of this Dallas roster, and on a big slate, don't have to have them. I mean, you've heard me talk about four teams that I'm already kind of like, meh, okay, I'm fading. Jazz are hosting the Rockets, a 213 total here, and this one's interesting to me primarily because the public jumped on the over, and I kind of agree with them. The way that the Jazz have been able to put up points, I like that call. Rockets are only favored by 2.5. Should be a pretty competitive game. I like this game. You know, the Rockets are coming off of a back-to-back. They were in Denver last night. They'll be at home tonight to host Utah, and they have won both of those games, I believe. But they have been relatively high scoring. So I do like the over. I think it's a good spot. I'll talk about James Harden in a little bit. You know, no serious injuries. Eric Gordon missed, which just kind of, you know, clears the way for that bench platoon that we have seen, you know, 25-minute guys of Mbamute Mute and PJ Tucker and Ryan Anderson and all of these guys to kind of slide into the two. You know, they're relatively positionless on this team, so it's not really a concern. They have enough guys to fill that. Joe Johnson as well. You know, they have enough guys to fill these roles. So, and Johnson actually got good run last night. It's interesting. He may actually be the one that they're throwing in there behind Gordon off the bench because he's, you know, a little bit more of a shooter. So it's a little bit more of a substitution there. Gerald Green not getting that run, which is interesting. On the Utah side of things, you know, it's Rubio's back. He played 19 and then he got ramped up to he got ramped up to 29, 30 minutes. So he's back. He's not quite back into form of what we expected, but he's back in the lineup and consistently, you know, getting that run. I don't know. I mean, and Joe Ingles continues his heat check. He's been unbelievable lately. You know, Saturday put up a massive number. It's business as usual with this Utah roster. We know exactly what it is. It's really just price monitoring and matchup monitoring for them and figuring out when you want to go to them. In this Utah situation, in the Houston situation, you'd like to go to someone like Don Mitch, but, you know, you're looking at like Donovan Mitchell versus Devin Booker. You know, those kinds of questions arise. So I think he's an interesting pivot. I think Rubio's an interesting pivot. I don't mind the pricing necessarily. It doesn't bother me. I don't think it's a must-have spot, but I do I like this game a lot more than others just because I do think it will be competitive. Minnesota at Sacramento, 215 total here, and the Wolves are favored by 5. So what does it look like when with no Jimmy on the court? Well, Bielitz is going to get the minutes, right? But the usage goes to Towns, and the fantasy points go to Teague, which is kind of funny, right? So you have this kind of distribution. Bielitz's price jumped. He's like 5,600 because everybody's anticipating the Jimmy Butler bump and the ownership has been so high. So FanDuel's pricing algorithm reacted really, really, really strongly to that ownership bump for Bielitz. And I think they gave him, you know, they just manually up his price to kind of make it more reasonable. Annoying, but it's one of the things that they've done to make pricing a little bit tighter. You know, so Bielitza absolutely will be starting. He should get plenty of good run. Bad Sacramento defense. This is a relatively high total for a Sacramento game because, you know, sometimes their pace influences totals and you see lower numbers. But this should be a good one to go to any of the Wolves that you necessarily can fit in. I mean, for me, it would be Bielitza probably. But Towns and Teague are probably my two favorites. Then Bielitza and Wiggins are tight there in second place. I don't mind them. But I also don't mind Bogdan Bogdanovic in this situation, who's been playing really, really well. And he has a nice matchup on the wing there at shooting guard. Without Jimmy, this defense is going to struggle. This is not going to be the same defensive team. They gave up over 110 points to the Bulls the other night. That's the kind of team you're dealing with. They're not going to be the same defense. They just don't have that one position that they are completely stout at that rotates and makes sure everyone covers and all that kind of stuff. So they were already a little bit, you know, not quite the defensive team that they needed to be, but now they're probably going to struggle even more without Jimmy. So definitely something that we want to jump on and take advantage of as far as, you know, rostering some guys from Sacramento here. Chicago at Brooklyn, 217 total here. And now we start to get into the high numbers, and this isn't even halfway through. 217 is like, you know, sixth best total on this slate, which is just bananas. 217 total here. Brooklyn is favored by 5 at home. Good for them. And I do think that that's actually smart. I don't mind that at all. They've been the better team. They are going to probably get Caris LeVert and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson back. Now, if anything for me, that just makes me kind of nervous about rostering any Nets. But at the same time, there's a lot of Nets to like in this situation. You know, I mean, you have a Nets team that playing well at home against a bad Chicago defense. D'Angelo Russell and Spencer Dinwiddie both getting over 30 minutes in the last game against Charlotte. That's really nice. You know, how does Caris LeVert affect things? My guess is that he affects Alan Crabb and Joe Harris. That would be my thought, who are both at about 30 minutes. I don't know necessarily that they're going to throw too much off of D'Angelo and Spencer Dinwiddie because I think they have a little bit more invested in those guys. Maybe Damari Carroll takes a couple minutes. You know, LeVert takes a couple minutes away from him. I think the Hollis-Jefferson thing is clear. It's just going to be an AC kind of one for one, or they're going to kind of tick down and share there at that spot. I don't think Jared Allen's role is going to change. I think they're committed to developing him at about 20 plus minutes a night. So, you know, it's not hard to see. I think that it, you know, my hope is that it affects those kind of power forward rotations, LeVert. But I don't necessarily know. If you want to go to someone in this matchup, I feel it's hard. I think it's probably Russell. As much as I kind of hate to say that, if you guys ever know anything about the show, I don't really like D'Angelo Russell. I think, you know, he's a good scorer, you know, great, fine. He's good for fantasy. He's pretty inefficient. And if the Lakers, even in, you know, future rebuilding mode, decide that Russell isn't their guy, that's pretty damning. It's pretty damning for the Lakers to just say, no, it's not really going to work for us. 7,200, though, is a pretty serious price tag to pay for D'Angelo Russell in this situation at probably 28 minutes with Caris LeVert potentially biting in there and taking out back some of those minutes. So, I don't know. Moving over to the Chicago side of things, you know, this is going to be goofy. They're going to be really hard to project. Robin Lopez is going to continue to sit. He's going to get the Tyson Chandler treatment down the stretch here. The veteran just sitting out. He's not going to play. Cristiano Felicio played 11 minutes and then he played 30 minutes. Yikes. You know, that's tough. We're going to have a hard time projecting what they're going to do in the front court here with Portis and Felicio going forward, and Vonleh as well, who's been getting, you know, 15 minutes or so. It does seem like Lauri Markkanen is going to be just locked into his 30 minutes. So that's kind of reassuring to me. Denzel Valentine, somewhere between 25 and 30. David Nwaba, over 30. But of course, you know, these things can change because they're in tank mode. And, you know, they're going to give guys, you know, more run one night than another. The one thing to keep an eye on for tonight, really, is Zach LaVine. If he sits, Justin Holiday will likely go, which would open up a lot of minutes there. And I think you probably would also see some more minutes, maybe for a guy like Bobby Portis. I don't know. Because, you know, you could move Valentine or Nwaba up to the two potentially, and kind of run a 3-4, or excuse me, run a, like a small ball type lineup with Nwaba and Valentine on the floor, which we've seen them. They've done it before. So it's kind of something to keep an eye on. Raptors at the Pistons, or excuse me, Pistons are at the Raptors, 218 total here. And the Raptors are favored by 10. Disrespectful to the Pistons, but the Pistons deserve it. They really did not show up the other night, and we know how dangerous the Raptors are at home, although they did drop one to Milwaukee, which was a bigger deal, I think, than we realized. Yeah, I mean, they just got absolutely rolled yesterday by Charlotte, like destroyed. Played a tough game against Boston, rolled by Charlotte the next day, and now they're getting on the plane, they're going up to Toronto. It's not a good situation for them where, you know, the Raptors have been excellent, excellent up there. So I'm not that interested in anything on the Detroit side. I mean, I guess you could talk me into some of the bigs, but like I never play Blake Griffin because of the inconsistency. Drummond, maybe because he has, you know, a decent matchup down low, but I don't know. If you're going to the Toronto side of things, I think you have to attack in the backcourt here. Kyle Lowry, sneaky play. We've seen this trend of, you know, point guards versus the, and it's one of the things that pops in Josh's monster model. It's a trend that's starting to develop here. It's a problem for Detroit. They're starting to give up big games to the point guard position, you know, as well as the Hawks. Those are the two spots where you've seen some big game production lately. So Lowry could be an interesting pivot, you know, but priced up. priced up, and if they really roll here, he'll play 28 minutes. He won't play more than that. At 8,300, that's a pretty steep price. You want him to play full minutes and have a perfect matchup, which I don't know if Detroit is a perfect matchup. It feels like a pivot spot here at that price. So you're going to basically get him negligible ownership because there's just not a lot of people on him today. The rest of the Toronto side, DeRozan's price keeps dropping, which continues to just kind of catch my eye every time I'm looking through these things. And I'm like, 8,200, 7,800, you know, like, good spot. Interesting. You know, it's a very interesting proposition to go to the shooting guard here. He's the best. He's the direct pivot off of Booker. I mean, it's right there. And all you have to have him do is outscore Booker. It's not unreasonable to see that happening. But, you know, at the same time, it is New Orleans. That's like the best matchup that Devin Booker could possibly have on a slate. So at that, you know, in the same breath, not quite. Not quite as good a spot as you might think. Moving over to, I lost my page. Moving over to, the Oklahoma City, the Magic are going to OKC, a 219 total here, and OKC is favored by 10 at home. Again, you see some of these lopsided numbers, right? We're seeing some of these home teams that are playoff teams against tank teams that are just getting, you know, double digits. Vegas isn't even a mess with it. It's double digits. You know, the Celtics are double digits. Toronto, double digits. OKC, double digit. You know, double digit spread in 4 or 5 games tonight. So that's a big deal. You do worry. You got to think some of these are going to be blowouts. And this one actually feels like maybe it's going to be the one. OKC coming off that rough loss in Golden State. Zaza Pachulia can eat one. You get a reputation for being a dirty player for a reason. Did Nick Young's leg hit him? Yes, fine. Nick Young's leg hit him. He was going to fall. But that fucking behemoth didn't even try to brace his fall. Didn't even pretend to brace his fall. He used Russ's body as his mat. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's that kid in your class. And this is me having taught middle school for like 10 years. He's the kid that walked by another kid's desk with his ass out and knocks your paper and your pencils off of your table and goes, "Oh, I'm sorry." And the kid goes, "What? What are you doing? Why? What are you doing?" He's being annoying on purpose. You know what he's doing. "Why are you doing it?" He goes, "Oh, it was an accident." "It wasn't an accident. BS, it was an accident. What are you?" And then he goes, I'm sorry. It was an accident. Honestly, it was a total mistake." And you go, "No, it wasn't. You did that on purpose." And it's like, no, I didn't. Honestly, that's ridiculous. Like, you think that was on purpose? It's totally an accident. I'm sorry. Here, I'll help you up. Get out of here. That's Zaza. That is Zaza Pachulia. "Oh, it was totally an accident. Oh, I destroyed Kawhi's ankle. Totally an accident." He can't avoid the contact. He chooses not to avoid the contact because he knows that he is a huge dude. And when he creates those situations for himself, that's why he's a dirty player, because he, more than any other player in the league, has a reputation for being put in that situation. I can't stand him. Can't stand him. Pretends like it's not a big deal. I'm with Russ on this, 100%. Anyway, that's enough. That soapbox. OKC should be, you know, crush Orlando here. They played them earlier in the year and lost, if you remember, but then they came back and I believe they had a second matchup with them and absolutely wiped the floor with them. You know, they just had the loss. They just had the loss. So you got to think that they're going to come back and make sure that they don't lose this one. They're at home here. Russ had 65 last time against this team. Yes. Obviously, Russell Westbrook in the best DVP matchup on the slate. This is the kind of slate, like, if you hadn't done any research, you would just see Russ versus the Magic, and you go, "Oh, okay, yeah, that's easy." Boom. It's all there. You know, Paul George did not shoot well in the Gold State game, but that's not going to happen again. He's in a good spot, too. So there's a lot to like here in this situation, no doubt about it. On the Magic side of things, You know, I don't play the Magic unless they're cheap or if it's a small slate. I can't really talk myself into too much here. I have to be honest with you. The point guard situation is kind of a mess. Hezonja's minutes are down. It's not a good matchup for them defensively. Aaron Gordon, obviously back. He's potentially interesting, but this isn't a perfect matchup, and his price reflects, you know, reflects his his ceiling. Vooch, not a spot for Vooch, not yet. There's going to be some Vooch spots, but this isn't it necessarily. So I don't know, you know. I don't think I have to do any Magic stuff on this slate. Atlanta at the Lakers. Lakers at Atlanta. This is going to be a fun game. 222 total, and Lakers are only favored by 1.5 on the road. Love that. Love the young teams. Love the the high total here. Love the development type role for, you know, a lot of these guys. We're going to get tons of John Collins minutes down the stretch now that Ersan is out. He's in a good spot. I love Julius Randle here. I love Brandon Ingram in this situation. I even like Josh Hart a little bit. I don't know who is going to be playing point guard for LA, which is the one thing that if I knew what was going there, it would be a trend that I would jump on. No doubt about it. This is interesting. This is a tankathon. This is a tank war. So this is definitely a game that I want to get involved in. The Knicks at the Warriors, 229 total here, and the Warriors are favored by 11.5 on the road, which is obscene. We saw this game last time out. Michael Beasley had a game. No Porzingis, and the Knicks actually stayed in it. Now, the Knicks are in an interesting spot because they're in developmental mode, right? As many of these teams are. 25 minutes or so for Moutier, Trey Burke, and Neil Aquino. Of those, Trey Burke has been the best scorer. His price reflects it. Moutier is second. Neil Aquino, not so much. The defense is there. And they're playing these guys at the two at the expense of Courtney Lee. So Courtney Lee, not much more than 15 minutes. But these guys are backing him up, and I think a lot of that is Trey Burke, Tim Hardaway Jr., and Tim Hardaway Jr. and Michael Beasley, about 30 minutes apiece, at the three, at the four. Lance Thomas is getting run as well. In this game, last time out, it was Beasley and Hardaway got the minutes. He just couldn't score in that Golden State. But Beasley had a very nice game in that situation as well. Cantor is not going to get a ton more run. I think they aren't going to put that stress on his body. And I think that they are going to allow Kyle O'Quinn to share some minutes and take some minutes away from him with Luke Kornet. And that's it, really. I mean, so that's kind of my thinking is you don't have a lot of the same guys in the lineup that you had earlier this year, but you can continue to trust, I think, Beasley, Hardaway Jr., and then the point guards, you just kind of have to trust. You just have to make a decision and throw a dart based on pricing. I think that's how you attack the point guard position, is based on pricing. On the Golden State side of things, no injuries that we need to be worried about here. Everybody's going to be playing, it seems. Steph had 32 out here last time. That's craziness. KD had 46 and only scored 14 points. That's really good. The team was at full strength. They still blew him out, but, you know, I mean, they blow people out and still put up fantasy numbers all the time. If you really, really, you know, we know that if you really want to get a good game from the Warriors, it's got to be a tight spread. This isn't it. So I'm not all in on the Warriors, but I do think that there's a lot to like from some of these guys, with the exception of Zaza, because, you know, boycott Zaza. Let's boycott Zaza. And the game of the year, a total that has jumped from 231 to 235. Absolutely insane. The Suns go down to the Big Easy, and the Pels are favored by 7.5 at home. This game is going to be just fantasy goodness. Just stack it up any way you can. Get involved. This is why I'm talking about, like, when I mentioned, you know, Pacers Mavs, I'm like, fuck Pacers Mavs. Because you have Pelicans Suns. This is amazing. You know, you have Pelicans Suns, you have Lakers Hawks, you have Knicks Warriors. Like, these totals are huge. And a 235 total is absolutely something that we cannot ignore. We have to hammer it home. You know, there's no reason not to love the Pels. They came off a back-to-back. They huge comeback yesterday against Milwaukee. They were down by 20 at one point. Huge comeback against Milwaukee. They're still at home, which is nice. I don't love the back-to-back for these guys, but I'll take it. It doesn't bother me, especially against the Suns defense that's not that good. And if anything, I think it makes it interesting to say that the Suns could potentially cover. They played very well the other night. And, you know, looking at this starting lineup, you see kind of what they have or what they want their future to be. They, you know, they played Portland pretty tight on Saturday, all the way through to the fourth quarter, and Dame with the buzzer beater there, or the late go ahead. Booker, Payton, and T.J. Warren, you know, they're the core right there. They're both all three going to get over 30 minutes. Josh Jackson and Troy Daniels coming off the bench. You know, and it's in the front court, it's Bender and Len primarily. Bender and Len primarily. Chris getting 18, 20 minutes or so there. So you have some things to like. I think I'm sticking with the core guys that I trust, the Booker, Payton, and Warren. And it's interesting. They're literally 8,500, 7,500, 6,500. And so I think they could all, you know, have a similar range of outcomes. Obviously, we know that Devin Booker is the best scorer of those three, and you're paying for it. But I love this spot for him, obviously, as a lot of people do. On the New Orleans side of things, Jrue Holiday is blowing my mind. He's absolutely mind-blowingly efficient right now. I am obviously also blown away. If you're not blown away by what Anthony Davis is doing right now, then you just don't get it. I'm a little bit concerned about the minutes load. 40 minutes in the last two games, which is just bananas. And I really hope he doesn't get hurt. But the man has averaged 75 fantasy points in the last five games. He has gone over 90 twice and has gone, and the other, there's a third game where he went over 75. He went 78. I don't know how to describe. I mean, what do you do with that? He's an unbelievable scorer. He is an unbelievable scorer. It's absolutely mind blowing. So he should be, you know, obviously at the top of our radar here in this situation against a really, really bad Suns defense, no doubt about it. So, love this game, obviously. And Nico, too. Nico is a really good spot, too. So let's go ahead into the player breakdown, figure out who we love. Who do you love? Okay, going to start at the top of the slate with the most expensive guys. And I'm going to try to move fast here, guys. I know I just talked about it, to talk about all those games, you know, talk through quite a bit. But I'll talk through the player breakdown right now, try to get you out of here in under an hour. Russ versus Orlando, 12K FanDuel, 11.8 on DraftKings. Everything is on par with what you expect. I said this jokingly, but like, this is the spot when you open up the app and you haven't done any research and you see Russ versus Orlando, you go, yes, okay, good. What next? Obviously. 1.49 fantasy points per minute. He's been on target with that recently in the last five and on the season. 34% usage, it's there. Best point guard matchup on the slate, it's still there from a DVP perspective. Hard to know if it's a blowout. 10-point home favorites, borderline, right? Borderline blowout. He's got that short, sore shin. Does that concern you? I don't know. You compare him. You're basically comparing him to Anthony Davis. If you were going to pick one of them to put in your lineup, you need to compare them in that situation. I think I would probably lean towards Davis. The difficulty is that there's more depth at center. That's the difficulty here. There is more depth at center. You have more options, although there is a lot. There are a lot of point guard options, actually. But you do feel like there is a lot more ways to save at the center position tonight than there are at the potentially at the point guard position. And now that I'm saying that and I'm thinking about the depth of the point guard pool and Teague and Payton and, yeah, maybe that's not true. But I think if you just go to straight let the total decide, then it's AD. Then it's AD in that situation. Steph versus the Knicks is interesting, primarily because I think it's one of the most clearly under-owned and overlooked spots. Because if you're paying up for a point guard on this slate, it's probably Russ. Now, I don't really necessarily love Steph on the road and as a double-digit favorite. It's a good situation, but this could be, you know, kind of a lackluster 40-point performance. But he's 9,600 on FanDuel, 10,600 on DK. Second highest total on the slate. Okay, so, you know, 27% usage, one of the best DVP matchups on the slates, top three. You know, it's not as bad as it has been, but the fact that he scored 32 in that game last time out tells you of his ability to score on this Knicks team. You like him on the big stage. That's something I always like for Steph in a big situation. I think, you know, mentally he engages, you know, that there's something about that. It's not necessarily the Russ, but it's 3K cheaper. And we have a ceiling with Steph Curry every single time he goes out there. The floor is a problem. 38-point floor doesn't really interest me, but I think it's a tournament play. It's an interesting GPP-type, you know, play that if it works out, you're happy about it because he's likely under-owned. And this, the difficulty is you ask yourself, what's the ceiling? Well, the ceiling is 55 points, right? The ceiling is what he did against the Clippers. Very possible he gets back there. Difficulty is does the game stay competitive enough for him to get back there? Right? I almost prefer Kevin Durant, but we'll see. Shooting guard, James Harden versus Utah. Obviously, Harden and any slate, he's available, he's viable. He's an even interesting, more interesting stud pivot. Similarly priced to Davis and Russ, but clearly not as obvious spot. It's just not as obvious to go to him. There's huge depth at shooting guard. There's tons of options in the high mid-range there at the 8K range. So I think Harden goes underplayed versus Utah. No one plays studs versus Utah. They're expecting the combination of the bottom 10 in pace and the top 10 in defensive efficiency. There's just a stigma there. The thing that interests me and what we saw in the betting market is this total jumped. Why? Well, Utah's been a top 15 offense recently. They've been playing really, really well. Even though they do only allow the second lowest FD points plus minus, 9 points fewer average than other opponents. That's a problem, right? Or excuse me, yeah, 9 points fewer than the average allowed. That's a problem. That's a pain in the ass. You kind of look at that and you go, ugh, where does the ceiling come from in a situation like that? Add that Harden's on the back-to-back. Ugh, you don't love that. He put up 41 last night. The thing that is interesting to me is that if there's one place that you attack this team, and it's a trend that continues to develop, it's the shooting guard. That's it. He already put up 76 on this team once. Sure, no Chris Paul, but this is the place where you attack this team at the two guard. Rubio and Mitchell don't really handle it that well. And if there's somebody who's going to, and this game is going to be competitive, that's what you love. Russ, potential blowout, right? Harden, he's a pivot in a potentially competitive game, overlooked, under-owned, and he already put 76 up on this team, and he's at home. There's a lot of things to like there. There's a lot of things to like there in a way to be different. I don't necessarily know if it's a cash game play because it's very likely that he goes out and he does 48, and this game is relatively low scoring, and his legs are feeling it, whatever. But I think it's interesting. Small forward, I really do like Kevin Durant. This is an underrated spot to me. 10-2, 10-5. I love KD at this price. It just seems attractive. Small forward has been a disaster as far as rostering down. It's not bad tonight. You have Brandon Ingram. You have TJ Warren. They're reasonably priced. Then you have some value guys like Bielitsa. It's not bad, but this is an underrated spot in my mind. One of the better matchups on the slate. Top 10 DVP. Third best in efficiency plus minus, according to what I'm seeing. He's cheap. We have a massive total here. He had 46 against them. And here's what I love. That 46 points, 14 of them were real-life raw points. Pfft, nothing. That's nothing for KD. 14? That's ridiculously below his standards. You add 10 more points to that. He's back up to 24. He's back up to a season average. You're looking at a 56 burger. That's right on 5X for a relatively cheap price. Plus matchup, I think it's an underlooked spot. If I had to rate him and Steph, I'm probably going to Kevin Durant just because I also like the depth at the point guard position more than I like the depth at the shooting small forward position. I have had tendency to pay up for small forward just because I trust high-priced small forwards more than point guard production. Like, I would trust Elfrid Payton over Nemanja Bjelica. Does that make sense? Anyway, Paul George versus Orlando. He is 8-7 on FanDuel, and he is, I believe, similarly priced. Sorry, for whatever reason, didn't write that price down. At 9K on DraftKings. And, you know, I mean, we know his story. Just under 40 points per game. He's been excellent of late. Over a fantasy point per minute, 36 minutes per game. This is a phenomenal matchup versus Orlando. It's a problem. He's not going to shoot 2 for 12 again. And they totally mailed it in that fourth quarter. You know, they just literally didn't hit a shot. Like, that shooting drought in that third, end of third and beginning of fourth, as soon as Russ went down, it just wasn't there. They just couldn't hit, and they kind of mentally checked out. It's fine. I mean, you just had a bad game. You know, they did the same thing to the Warriors last time. You know, the team defense in Orlando is just bad, and you have to think Paul George is going to be capable of getting to the rim on a combination of John Simmons and Mario Hezonja, no problem. He had 36 out here last time. That's the problem, right? It's not that Paul George, you don't love the matchup and the production lately. The problem is that 36 is a very likely outcome here. 36 is 4X. 36, they win the game handily. They're, you know, Russ puts up 50, he puts up 36. Team looks great. You know, everybody goes 4X, you're pulling your hair out. That's the problem here. So you worry about that. At center, obviously AD is just, he's one of the greatest scorers we have seen. I'm going to say that. I'm going to stick by it. Tell me I'm wrong. He's one of the greatest scorers that we've seen. He is unbelievable. He is unbelievable. His knack for finding the rim, finishing in any situation that he put against anyone, it's ridiculous. I love him. 12-5, 11-7 on DK. I'm going to be clear. I think he hits value. I don't think 60 is out of the question. The question that I do have is price. And what I mean by that is this. At 12-5 at the center position, do you have the ability to then build out a lineup, the rest of the lineup that you feel comfortable with? Because that's the hard part for me. At that price, you are really, really, really stretching yourself thin at the rest of your positions. And if you lock him in, I think you're even on FanDuel, you're below 6K for every other position. Now, if you find some min price guys that you feel comfortable with, yeah, okay, good. Then you can start to get involved in some of those other 7 and 8K players. The issue is you have a lot of 7 and 8K players on the slate, 6, 7, 8K players. I'm using FanDuel pricing here. You have a lot of 6, 7, and 8K players on this slate in the mid-range who have the ability to smash. There's going to be some guys who throw up some 50 burgers in that range. And having AD in your lineup may not allow you access to them, right? You may be playing, for example, Bogdan Bogdanovic over Devin Booker because of that $2,000, right? You may be playing Trey Burke instead of Elf. You may be playing... you know, which, like, that's fine. There's a merit to that. The question is where do you want to go with your lineup construction? The thing that I will say about AD, I just have to reread these numbers, wrote these notes. He's averaged 53 in the year. Fine. 1.45 fantasy points per minute. Great. But three of the last five, he's been over 75 fantasy points and twice over 90. What I don't love is this. This is the third in four nights. Friday, put up that massive number against Miami. Yesterday, Milwaukee game, put up a massive number as well. Okay, well, put up massive minutes. Didn't put up a massive number, put up like 55. 40 minutes in those games. That's a lot. That's a lot. That's so many minutes, right? I think it's acceptable to say there's no way they play him that many minutes. There's no way that they don't get production out of their bench here, or at least try, because he's just worn out, and you can't just, Alvin Gentry, just run him into the ground now when you're trying to make the playoffs. Like, you got to get this win? Sure. You want this one. This is an easy one. This is a cupcake. You punt some other games down the line where you're not in it in the fourth quarter. This is not one of them. So you do, you like that from a strategic standpoint. I think he hits a minimum of 55. That's the floor, right? Does that allow you to cash on a slate like this with depth everywhere else? That's a problem. That's what's weird. Because you have Karl Anthony Towns versus Sacramento. It's the best center matchup on the slate. It simply is. And he is 10K on FanDuel and 9.9 on DraftKings. He's averaging 48 fantasy points over the last five, 1.23 fantasy points per minute. It's not quite what you get from Anthony Davis, but it's pretty good. He gets the biggest usage bump on the team without Jimmy. He's up to 1.2 fantasy points per minute. That's pretty sweet. Almost every single center that has faced this team in the last 10 has exceeded value. I mean, Steven Adams, we were all over him just the other day. He went for 50. So if Steven Adams goes for 50, you got to let Karl Anthony Towns. By the way, he had 72 here last time. Karl Anthony Towns goes for 72 and Anthony Davis goes for 55. You're in trouble. You know what I mean? Like, that's a problem. So there's definitely a lot of love for Cat here. And I think it's about roster construction. It's about how you want to go. You got to be strategic. Elfrid Payton, let's go to the grout here, by the way. Elfrid Payton versus Phoenix. Or excuse me, versus New Orleans. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. No question about it. Elf is one of the guys that I would love to find the money to get to. $7,500 on FanDuel, and that is a fair price for the production. The floor has been 30 lately. I think that's about right. He's 77 on DK. The minutes are there. They're at about 32, 33, no doubt about it. He's been very, very good with those minutes. As a Sun, he's averaged 1.1 fantasy points per minute, 16, 7, and 8 with a steal. Boom. Floor is there. The matchup is there. The New Orleans Pelicans are getting destroyed by point guards. Goran Dragic put up 54 fantasy points. Yes, overtime. Dwayne Wade took fucking 16 shots in overtime, which is just, by the way, silly. Come on, Dwayne Wade. We know you love the spotlight down there, but like, come on, share the ball. Let's play team basketball here. We were all over the dragon smash, Elfrid hair smash. And if anything, New Orleans on a back to back versus Phoenix just makes me like the fact that maybe there won't be as much defense and this will stay close. You know, who knows? The other guy right there at the exact same price, Jeff Teague versus Sacramento. Love it. 7,500. He scores the most fantasy points without Jimmy on the. He's just over 1.2. So actually him and Towns, he's just over 1.2. Towns is just under 1.2. I think that'll probably start to even out. But Teague destroyed Chicago the other night. Absolutely annihilated. 50 points, 50 fantasy points, 28, 7, and 8, I believe it was the line. He is in a really good spot. He's the creator. He's going to take the ball off the dribble here, no doubt about it. He's going to be handling the ball, the second most behind Towns, who, gets up to 29%. But Teague, I think, is at somewhere near 27. So no doubt about it. He's in a great spot. I like it here versus Sacramento. Reasonable price. I think you expect going forward, I think you really do expect a floor of about 30 fantasy points for Teague in this situation. Shooting guard, it's too deep. It's too deep. It's been deep. It's been super deep lately, and now it's just unbelievable. I've got Holiday, Booker, Bogdan, Wiggins, D'Angelo Russell, and who else did I forget? Oh, Donnie Mitch, I forgot. Tim Hardaway Jr., I didn't get to write up. Are you kidding me? The depth is unbelievable right now, no doubt about it. So we'll talk about him. I'll talk about him in the pecking order. Obviously, I got to start with Jrue Holiday and Devin Booker. Right there, 85 and 84, respectively. Both of them are in smash matchups against each other. Holiday is 81 on DK. Booker is 83 on FanDuel, on DK. Listen, they're clones. They're clones. They're very, very similar in their fantasy profile here. 35 plus minutes. Check, both of them. Averaging over 37 fantasy points per game. Check, both of them. Over a fantasy point per minute. Check, both of them. Great DVP matchup. Check, both of them. What do you do with that? Do you just roster them both and just say, hey, both of you go for 40? And that's the thing is they average 37 fantasy points. Well, at this price, that's not going to do it. Holiday, though, has been unbelievable of late. Three of the last five games, he's been over 49, excuse me. Four of the last five games, he's been over 48. He's a back-to-back, but he's at home. That's fine. I'm okay with that. It was an afternoon game. They go home. They sleep in their own bed. They eat. They come back to the facility. Everybody just kind of lazy, warms up, and then you play the fucking Suns, and you just make buckets, right? That's it. Just go get buckets. Summer League. All the Pels are better at home. They've all been much better at home this year. So Jrue is very, very interesting to me. And Devin Booker just went out and he proved what he was capable of against a much better backcourt defense in Portland. Now, if I had to pick, I think I'm going to probably side with Holiday for two reasons. One, he's at home. Two, it's likely that Holiday will guard Booker. Holiday's more of a problem defensively than Booker is, right? Okay. And we've seen the production shift between shooting between the two and the three. And so I think the interesting way to go potentially with the Suns, and this isn't set in stone, and I'm probably going to regret this, is potentially go to Elf and Warren over Booker. And kind of play that game there, right? To kind of try to straddle the ownership, right? So I don't know. I could be overthinking that. D'Angelo Russell versus Chicago. Listen, I said that this was interesting. I think it's interesting. 7,200, though, that's a lot of money to pay for a guy who only plays 28 minutes a game. And likely will only play with LeVert back. 28 minutes is probably right. And listen, he's going to be good. He's going to continue to produce, but you're getting what you pay for there. You're asking him to go for over 35. He still's only gone over 35, I believe, once since he's been back. Once. Yeah, so you're paying for the projection here. You're paying for the projection. You're not actually seeing a projected outcome there. I think I would rather go to Andrew Wiggins at 6,900, right below him at that spot. Wiggins, he's got to score, and he's going to be capable of scoring. The Sacramento matchup on the wing is not great. You don't love it because there actually have been okay recently against the shooting guard, and it's not necessarily a spot that you exploit, but you do see him third in kind of the nice bump that you get, and Monster Trends is telling us it's not the spot. The spot is point guard and the spot is center. which is why you go Teague and Towns, right? They get the biggest bump from Jimmy being out. But Wiggins, I think, is very, very capable. He's a very capable scorer. I think he's an interesting pivot off of Teague and Towns. I don't have a problem with him, but I perhaps even prefer Bogdan, who I think has a similar potential outcome to Wiggins, and despite a total dud against OKC, has been balling out lately, absolutely balling out. He went out there on Saturday, put up 31 fantasy points against the Lakers across 30 minutes. I gotta think he gets 30 minutes here. I don't know why he wouldn't. You got to have 30 minutes from Bogdan in this situation. You love attacking Wiggins. It's been a problem all year. It continues to be a problem. I think it's a really interesting way to go. And he's cheap. He's a pivot. He's a little bit lower owned. It's a little bit risky, but I think it's interesting. I think it's very interesting. I mean, it's insane. I didn't even mention, Tim Hardaway in one of the highest total pace up situations at home. Tim Hardaway against Golden State. Two of the last four, he's been over 40. Okay? He's underpriced. It's all there. It's all there. Josh Hart continues, he's more of a bargain guy. He continues to get 30 minutes. I don't know how they find the minutes for him, but they have the minutes there for him. So there's a lot. There's a lot to get interested in at the shooting guard position. Small forward is very similar. It's unbelievably deep. It talks about Paul George kind of as a stud type play, but you have Brandon Ingram, TJ Warren. You have Beasley at 6K. So let's talk about all those guys, because all of them are in an interesting situation here, as well as DeMar Carroll. DeMar Carroll and Nemanja Bjelica that don't necessarily qualify as value plays for me. But let's talk a little bit about Ingram and Warren here. Ingram is 7K. He has been getting the most consistent minutes on the Lakers. He's been over 32 minutes no matter what. Sometimes he's been even over 35, which is great. You love that, because Walton can be unpredictable with his minutes, which is, one of the hair-pulling type things. The return of Lonzo, I don't think is really going to hurt him, but he does move probably away from the point guard position a little bit, which he was playing, which was kind of fun. The floor these days is very clearly at 28. And at 7K, you're kind of okay with a 4X floor. But Atlanta, there is a ceiling. Terrible, terrible defensive team. Very, very bad against the small forward. We know that. I think you want to attack this team. You want to attack this total with a guy who's going to get minutes. Him and Randall probably going to get the minutes. The rest of these guys, it's hard to know what they're going to do. We don't know how many minutes Lonzo's going to get. We're not sure. We don't know how many minutes Isaiah Thomas. Well, we do. 25 minutes. Is 25 minutes of Isaiah enough, right? I don't like Isaiah. That's just me. From a fantasy perspective, the inconsistency bothers me. So Ingram is the guy. He's one of the guys that you gotta love on this roster. You absolutely gotta love him, because you have some trust in the minutes and the production that should come in a plus matchup against Atlanta. But I think TJ Warren might even be preferable here versus New Orleans. It's a really great spot. The world is gonna rush to Booker. Boom, you pivot to TJ, you make it work. He's cheaper. He's 2K cheaper. He's been excellent in the last two games, okay? 36 and 43. He's only 4 points off of what Devin has been doing. And you worry, hypothetically, you go, wow, you only want him when, Devin Booker's out of the lineup. No, it's just not the case. He's been very productive. The usage is there. You're paying $6,500 for a guy who's scoring at a similar rate to his, to Elf and Devin Booker, similar range of outcomes, 30-plus points, right? You're getting that outcome. We saw Josh Richardson demolish here, absolutely demolish, over 45 fantasy points. A lot of it came from turnovers. A lot of it came from steals, defensive stats. But TJ Warren is capable of getting a couple steals and blocks as well. He's also probably a better scorer, just raw, put the ball in the deck scorer than Josh Richardson is in a certain situation, and has more offensive usage to speak of. So you love the usage there for Warren against a bad New Orleans team that's been struggling with the three. It's all there. You got to like it. I mentioned the two guys at 5'6". Damari Carroll and Nemanja Bjelica. They're both going to probably play 28-plus minutes, although Bjelica will probably play 30-plus minutes against Sacramento. It hasn't been a great matchup, but listen, we know what he's capable of when he gets those 30-minute. He's going to probably be somewhere above 20, 25 fantasy points. You want him over 25. Sacramento, small forward isn't really the place to go after them. So I don't know how much I like him. I think you feel good about the minutes. You feel good about the production. But you're going to probably see the same amount of minutes. There's a couple guys in this price range where you could get those minutes. And, you know, Damari Carroll is one of those guys. He's probably going to play 30 minutes. I don't think he is the guy that goes to the bench for Caris LeVert. I just don't think. I think it'll probably be Joe Harris or Alan Crabb. I don't think it's Carroll. I think Carroll is a guy that we can trust for 30 minutes against this Chicago team. And you like attacking Chicago at the small forward. You got to like it. It continues to be a decent trend. And it's right up there in the top. Chicago is right up there in the top three as far as, you know, big monster games allowed. And that is right behind Phoenix and New Orleans. So getting some Brooklyn pieces into your lineup is not a bad idea. And Damari Carroll might be that one that you want to go to. The question is the offense needed? Is the usage there? Or is he just going to be Damari Carroll and be productive, you know, veteran type player and just give you 28? That's value. Is there a ceiling, though? You know, are you playing Damari Carroll instead of playing Michael Beasley, who, by the way, not a ton of minutes, but in this situation, remember, he's a baller. Like, Kevin Durant said that the other night. He was like, this guy can score, and he put up 30 in that matchup against them last time out. He can score. They're going to need the scoring. Since the All-Star break, the floor has been 27. Before that, without Zinger in the lineup, the production was there as well. He had not dipped below 30 fantasy points. So right at 6K, you feel very comfortable projecting 30 fantasy points in the highest total, highest pace game, one of the higher pace games of the night. No problem with that. I mean, this is what I'm talking about. I just gave you six different options that are all viable. You only played two of these motherfuckers. What are you going to do? Power forward, it's Nico versus the Suns. I mean, no doubt about it. I think Nico is one of the most interesting pieces in this game. You attack the power forward. He's 7,800. He's priced well. You're saying, okay, get me over 35, but you don't have to give me 40. No doubt. I mean, Nico has proven in good matchups, this guy is very, very capable. The floor has been 35, and we have seen some massive numbers from him in big games. I mean, that Brooklyn game, yes, they did get 10 minutes of overtime, but you see the ability of Mirotić to do damage. And here's what I really, really like. I think that we underestimate how he's capable of contributing in the defensive stats. He had 5 blocks and steals yesterday against Milwaukee. He had 4 against the Lakers. He had 7 in that Brooklyn game. I mean, this guy has the reach. It's the length, right, that allows him to pick up loose balls, get those or steals, you know, make a couple blocks, chase down type situation. So I think Nico is really interesting. I think he's one of the pieces that I would most like from that game. Love him, no doubt about it. Taj at 6,500 versus Sacramento. Obviously, we want to attack the front court here. He is 3rd. 4th in the pecking order as far as usage goes. Go to lineuplogicdfs.com, read injuries and implications to see the exact numbers. You're going to want to attack Sacramento with some of these guys. Taj is one of the cheaper ones. I think that you could absolutely feel good about the rebounding upside in Sacramento. You feel good about him kind of as, you know, a more even traditional big against this team. We saw a traditional big like Steven Adams destroy them. A traditional big like Taj Gibson could have a nice game here, but he did only put up 21 in the last game. You know, there is a tendency for him to disappear at times. And what you would say is okay, could he disappear in this situation and not do as much scoring? Yeah, he could. You know, the inconsistency has been troubling and frustrating, but this is not a terrible matchup. It's not a bad matchup, not a great matchup, but it's not a terrible matchup. I think you like the usage bump though. I would probably almost prefer Lauri Markkanen though. It's 6,100 on FanDuel. It's just kind of too cheap. The four is not quite the same as the center position, though, when you're reading. And this is similar to the Sacramento spot, right? The four is not quite the same as the center position, but it's good, okay? It's third in overall efficiency plus minus and third in overall fantasy FanDuel points plus minus. But that is also behind the matchup that a guy like John Collins finds himself in. And John Collins is right there against the Lakers, and he, you know, no Ersan, they're clearing out 30 minutes for Collins. He's playing the four. He's been good. The minutes are there. I mean, that's the second best spot on the slate behind Nico. Nico Collins, I think you could easily make your point, your mid-tier power forward pool, Nico Collins and Lauri Markkanen, and say, okay, I want one of these guys at the minimum, maybe two, and then maybe a value guy if I can find him. At the center position, there's one value guy that one mid-range guy that I absolutely love, and that's Julius Randle, 7,700. He's going to get Atlanta. This is a great matchup for him. I think it's a good spot to go to Randle. No doubt about the production, the minutes. They've been there in both of them. I think if you're not, I mean, the two options at the top are so good. And then there's some value options that I think Randle is really the only guy that I'm interested in this spot. At 7,700, we've seen him set the floor very, very high. Since returning from the All-Star break, he has been over 41 fantasy points in both of those games. The minutes are there. The raw scoring is there. Double-digit rebounds are there. And I talked about this last year. One of the things that you want more than anything from Julius Randle is him as an engaged rebounder. When he is an engaged rebounder, the fantasy scoring just goes up massively. And he can be kind of a passive rebounder, but it feels like coming out of the All-Star break, back-to-back games with 13 rebounds, maybe it's something he's working on. He looked at the numbers. He looked at the film. Maybe he's going, I got to get more rebounds. I have to. I have to make my value as a big, more traditional. I need double-digit rebounds on the regular. Did it in both games. Love this spot for him against Atlanta. I think if you're going away from Towns and you're going away from Davis, he's an interesting play. And listen, he's been a chasing 40 regularly, or above 40 regularly, and you're getting a discount there at 7,700 on FanDuel. So he is interesting for sure. Let's go into the bargain basement. I'm going to try and get through this as quickly as I can so that you guys can have the rest of your day. At the point guard position, Isaiah Thomas is 5,500. He's going to play 25 minutes against an Atlanta backcourt. That's bad. All he does is score. Don't be surprised if you see Isaiah Thomas put up a number. I just don't chase it. It's just like, that's the kind of thing that you go, I knew it. I knew that was good. I knew it was an interesting spot. I knew it was an interesting spot. I'm okay not having him, but I knew it was an interesting spot. Trey Burke, 4,900. He's been bananas, dude. I mean, he's been great for the Knicks. I cannot believe this man has scored 26 points in back-to-back games, once against Orlando, and then he did it against Boston. That's a big deal. That is a big deal. For him to have done it against Boston, again, one of the best backcourt defenses in the league, put up over 40 fantasy points. Can he do it again? You're asking him for just over 20 here, not quite 25. That's really, really reasonable to kind of suggest that he might get there. Emmanuel Mudiay, though, has been productive and a little bit more predictable, right? I mean, we've seen him since he joined the Knicks get about 20-plus minutes on the regular. I don't know. What does he do? He doesn't have a ceiling. He definitely doesn't have the ceiling that a guy like Trey Burke has. So I don't think he's the one that you go to. That's it. I mean, maybe Tyler Dorsey gets interesting if we continue to see his minutes creep up. But, you know, that's pushing it. You're pushing it, pal. That is it. I looked at campaign's picture, and I sighed quietly and closed it. But that's about as much interest as I have in campaign. The matchup. I mentioned Bogdan, shooting guard. I like Bogdan here. 5,400 is very reasonable. The dude can score. He can score. And Wiggins is not a good defender. He doesn't play defense. We've been attacking the shooting guard on Minnesota. Now, with Jimmy out, it's still a spot. It's definitely a spot. No doubt about it. Fucking Zach LaVine just put up 42 here. The first game without Jimmy, boom, shooting guard, pop, right there. So it's definitely something to consider at 5,400. I think he goes under-owned. I think he's an interesting late hammer. And Buddy Hield, similar, cheaper, 4,800. Man. This slate is too much. I'm overwhelmed. Small forward, 5,500 and below. I mentioned a lot of guys at the 56 range. But let's talk about David Nwaba potentially and Denzel Valentine, 5K and 4K. If Justin Holiday sits still and Zach LaVine sits, you have to start to think that these guys are interesting. There's no doubt about it. One of them is going to be playing at the two. Those are guys that I could get into for sure. I think that they're interesting. Etwan Moore, 4,500 versus Phoenix. The minutes are there. It's just a question of production. Will he show up? You know? Oh, I forgot to mention this. Point guard, one interesting name. You ready for this? Don't get mad. Ian Clark? Anyone? Ian Clark? I think he's interesting. Yeah, I think he's very interesting. At power forward, it's thin. It's thin. You know, Kuz is 5,500, but I wish I knew he was going to get the run, and he just hasn't. The last two games, 25 and 22 minutes, the minutes just haven't been there. I don't know when he's going to get run. I don't know when he plays and when he doesn't. I'm not sure. That's really hard. That's hard to project. Scal, 25 minutes for him. You know, if you're really looking for minutes under 5K, Jay Crowder is one of those guys versus Houston. I think that's potentially interesting. And Dragon Bender. So that's where you're at with that. Bender's not bad. At the four, you can attack the four in New Orleans, and he's 25 minutes. I trust him more than Marquise Chris. I don't trust Marquise Chris because I don't think their coaches trust them. You know, he can show up, but I don't think the coaches like him, and I don't think he's doing himself any favors as far as getting minutes. So it's kind of hard to feel comfortable with that. Alex Len, man, the guy just continues to produce. And he's not priced appropriately. This is what happens. Alex Len continues to put up double-doubles. He's put up double-doubles in both games since returning from the All-Star break, 33 and 37 fantasy points. You have to be interested, especially in the highest total of the night. If you're going down at center, I'm telling you, you can definitely play him here. No doubt about it. I like it. It's hard. Listen, it's not hard on DK. You have multi-position eligibility. Attack. Play them both. No doubt about it. So, Len, still very interesting if you can find a way to build the rest of your lineup. Like, if you go to Russ, Len, baby, do it. Why not? Why wouldn't you? I think that's a good call. All right. Let's go ahead over to the FanDuel.com and see if we can throw together a lineup. Now, there's a couple ways to go here, and I've already been fooling with this, obviously, because there's a potentially, you know, I'm going to be stuttering over myself if I try to build this on the fly because it's just unbelievably deep. But let's say we start with all the pieces that we wanted from that New Orleans-Phoenix game. And let's say we went to Elf, Drew, TJ Warren, and Nico. Okay? Elf, Drew, TJ Warren, and Nico. Where are you, Nico? There, Nico. Okay? I love those spots. And I fade Booker and I fade Davis because I think the floor is elevated for these guys, and it's interesting. I have about 6K left per player. Now, I'm going to need some value in this spot. I'm going to need some interesting, and I'm going to probably want a 10K guy. So let's go ahead and let's take one of the value. There's some value of point guard. I'm going to take one of these value point guards. Let's maybe say Trey Burke here. Fine. He's got a ceiling. I think he's interesting. He's been playing well. Okay, great. At small forward, I could either go to Kate. I'm going to leave that open, actually. Hold on one second. Power forward. Let me get one of these cheaper type guys down here. Maybe I can go to John Collins. Let me see if I can make John Collins work in that spot. Now, I can go to KD, but I think I'm going to, if I go to KD, it's at my other small forward. I think it's, that's hard. It's 4,400 left per player. You need like a min price shooting guard, basically. Yeah, you can't really do that. Okay, so if I go off of Collins, here's what I have to do. Here's what I have to do. I have to go to Dragon Bender. Okay, so I have even more exposure to that game. Fine, I don't care. And then maybe I'll go to Towns. He's 10K flat. And then I have 5,500 for small forward and a power forward and a shooting guard and a small forward. Shooting guard, I'll go Bogdan. And then a small forward, I'll go Damari Carroll. It's interesting. It's one way to go. But like I said, there's a million freaking ways to go. Elf, Trey Burke, Drew, Bogdan, TJ Warren, Damari Carroll, Nico, Dragonbender, and Towns. It's very easy to just flip this to KD, by the way, and Alex Len. So if you prefer Alex Len to... you prefer Alex Len to Damari Carroll, that's very easy. You go TJ Warren, Kevin Durant. The question is do you have more upside with, you know, and I have four Suns in my lineup now. Do I want four Suns? Do I want to be overexposed to that game? What happens if it's potentially not, you know, the game that we thought it is? That kind of stuff. You know, if you want to build with Davis, let's build with Davis here. If you want to build with Davis, you're going to need a couple value pieces. And I think if you build with Davis, I think you go to two value point guards. I think because there's depth enough at point guard that you feel comfortable with it. So maybe it's Trey Burke, and then you go out on a limb with a min price guy like, Ian Clark. Ian Clark, where are you? Ian Clark. Okay, boom. Ian Clark. Right? I got two min price point guards in there, cheap point guards. Shooting guard. Well, let's go to the mid range and small forward because I think I have some small forward options that I could do here. Could go Ingram, Warren, boom. Okay. Now, power forward, maybe I can spend down a little bit and I can get interesting. I could go John Collins and I could go Lauri Markkanen. This is kind of fun. And then I have Drew. Oh, I can't get to Bogdan. Can't quite get to Bogdan. Not quite. $100 off, $200 off. How much is off Devin Booker? I'm $100 off. So I fool with it a little bit here. But this is interesting too. Hold on. Let me try this. If I go to Bender. Yeah, if you go to Bender, you need some min price type guys in your lineup here. You can do, wait a second. Let me see this. Bogdan. Oh, man, I'm really close to Harden and Davis in this lineup. Wow, $400 off of Harden and Davis. See what I mean? This is what happens. You start to get interested. Starts to get real interesting real fast. Yeah, I can go TJ Warren and Michael Beasley. And now I have Trey Burke, Ian Clark, Bogdan, Harden, Warren, Beasley, Collins, Bender, Davis. Like, there's a million one ways to go on this slate, guys. I don't know what else to say. You could even play, if you play Warren and Beasley, you can play Booker and Holiday. Booker and Holiday against each other. So you have Booker, Holiday, Warren, Beasley, Collins, Bender, Davis. Just stacking up that Phoenix New Orleans game. There's a million one ways. There's a million and one ways to go here. So good luck. I would love to see how lineups shake out. Shoot me some results. Shoot me some lineup ideas, and we'll get through this one, guys. It's going to be bananas. 500 points. Here we go. 500s. See ya.